Welcome, welcome to Tuesday on this June the 25th in the year of our Lord 2013. I'm Tom Baker. You're listening to Law and Gospel, and this is our second day in the new studios at the International Center of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod for KFUO Worldwide. Normally on Tuesdays, it's ruminations with a pastor. And we were really looking forward to getting in with Pastor Mark Smith, but unfortunately, he's got other things that he's doing today. He had been on a little vacation, came back, and is unable to make it today. So I'm by myself, but we're still going to do the topic that we had spoken about. And it's a topic that I had brought up about coincidences. I have been talking about coincidences as a book that I was writing. And I had begun to do it after I had met my wife-to-be, Louise. And within about 3 months, I had over 100 pages of coincidences. These were items that just so happened to be two unexpected events that occurred. And recently I was talking about, I had been in St. Charles, Missouri about 3 weeks ago when the tornado came through and did a lot of destruction about less than a half a mile from where we were at in a restaurant. In fact, we looked out the windows and the plants and the trees were blowing like crazy, and we were very fortunate, and I call that a coincidence. Well, we received a letter, an email, from an individual, and I'd like to reply to her concerns about what she had been talking about. She says, I have a question for Pastor Tom Baker regarding his comments about coincidences. He told a story about being in the area of a tornado and having been spared any injury or damage. He believed God blessed him and protected him. We have two daughters who were both born with serious medical problems. One was totally healed, something so rare doctors don't tell patients it can happen. The other was dying and there's nothing anyone can do. She's now almost 40 years old, multiply physically handicapped, employed, and has nearly the entire Bible memorized. We don't believe in coincidences and love to tell how God has done the impossible in our lives. Not because we are anything great. We are totally dependent on Him. It's because of His great kindness, mercy, and grace. Okay. I think that this is a good letter to help me clarify what I meant by coincidences. And I thought I had said this, but maybe I hadn't been clear enough on it. A coincidence is always a coincidence from the point of view of human beings living here on earth. I totally agree with this email writer that there is no such thing as coincidences where by the luck of the draw, two events come together which are very fortunate for you. That just doesn't happen. God is involved in every event that ever occurs. If He is not doing it by His will, He's doing it by His permission. So coincidences are something that is kind of seen from a human point of view. The one I would use from the Bible, and there are many of them in the Bible, because the Bible writes history sometimes from a human point of view and sometimes from God's point of view. For example, in the crossing of the Red Sea, it says a great wind came and blew back the waves, making two walls of water between which the Israelites were able to cross the Red Sea. See, that's looking at it from a human point of view. But from a godly point of view, who was the one in control of the wind? Who made the ground dry enough so that they could traverse the Red Sea? Well, it was none other than God Himself. You could do this with the crucifixion. If you were just a reporter talking about the crucifixion, you would just say from a historical point of view that a man was arrested, accused of treason by the Jewish leaders, sentenced to death by a man named Pontius Pilate, said some sentences when he was hanging on the cross, and now he died. And some people say he rose again from the dead, but there's really no evidence for that. It's just what people reported. Now, see, that would be from a human point of view, just the facts. But from God's point of view, everything was being directed on the basis of prophecies from the Old Testament, beginning with Daniel 7, for example, where the Ancient of Days sends the Son of Man to earth for the purpose of redeeming his people. This is wonderful. And in redeeming his people, the people come to a point where they recognize that God is really in charge. One of my favorite ones is in the book of Ruth, where after returning with Naomi from a Gentile land after her husband had died, it says that Ruth just so happens to go into the field of Boaz. Now, I kind of smile when I read that, because there is no just so happens. God is directing her feet, whether she knew it or not. Because had Ruth not married Boaz, who then was in a sense the grandfather of David, the line to Jesus would have been broken. That's why in the Gospel of Matthew, Ruth is one of two Gentile women, the other one being the prostitute Rahab, in the line toward Jesus. Rahab, by the way, was married to the man, and they had a child named Boaz. The point I'm trying to make here is people really think, well, that was really good luck, or that was a coincidence. And that's the way human beings look at history. And I have no problem with that, because coincidences seem to occur. But when you take down the curtain, God is the one really involved in anything that happens to be coincidental. Which brings me to the second point. I might have given this impression, but I certainly didn't want to give that impression. Just because you have coincidences doesn't mean that it's a positive thing that happens. Now, certainly, it was positive for me that I was in that restaurant. The tornado just went a little bit further and not against the restaurant. But remember, it also went against other people. Now, nobody was killed in this particular tornado, but a lot of damage was done. And so when you take a look at it from this point of view, we're looking at what we would consider to be God's way of dealing with the world. And in God's way of dealing with the world, we find a lot happening that seems to be coincidental, but is not coincidental at all. I'll give you an example of a coincidence that I definitely think is a coincidence from a human point of view, but was very negative. Our second son, Philip, many of you know he died in a motorcycle accident. There were some witnesses to it as he was coming down the street. His front tire gave out, hit a curb, and he was thrown over the bike directly into a tree. We, of course, went by that selection of area. There was not that many trees there. But there was that one tree that he hit, and he died. Now, see, that's a coincidence that that tree was there. But it was a plan of God, because God had decided at that very point that it was time to bring Philip home. So when I talk about coincidences, these are things that just so happen to occur, and some people call about it like good luck. In fact, this happened to me yesterday after I had written this promo. I was talking to somebody on the phone and saying some things I was attempting to do, and the individual said, well, good luck. And I thought about that, and I said, good luck? I didn't say to him, good luck. But you see, we kind of use that the events that would occur would be fortunate enough to come down upon you in a good way. But frankly, that's not really good luck. It's God working behind it. There's no such thing as luck. People win the lottery, The odds are huge, but somebody's got to win. And there's no doubt in my mind that God is involved in who that winner is. Regardless of how they use the money, many people who win the lottery, they've done some stories on them, and it's really sad what happens is they end up losing their money very quickly because of bad investments or giving to relatives who suddenly find them and visit them a lot. What we're dealing here with is the fact that we need to look at things from a human point of view and then realize there's also a divine way of looking at things. Another good example is, recall when Joshua and Moses are at war, and Joshua holds the hands up of Moses so that the sun stops and gives them extra time to win the battle. Now, do you notice what the Bible says? That the sun stops. Well, the sun doesn't stop. It's the earth that stopped revolving. I'm going to say a big word here. Might even mispronounce it. It's so big. But the Bible is often written from a phenomenological point of view. The phenomenon is what it looks like that is happening. But in reality, something else is happening. So that even though we ourselves use language like that all the day, when you get up in the morning and you look out the window, what do you see? A sun rise. And when you go to bed at night and look out over the window, what do you see? A sun set. Now, why do we use those words sunrise and sunset? Because that's the way the phenomenon appears to us by sight. When in reality, we don't say, oh, look at the earth is revolving again, which means we're coming into the sunlight. Or it's revolving the other way, which means there's a sunset. So we use language from a phenomenological point of view. And we do that for the purpose of helping people to understand the message. So from a human point of view, yes, there was a man who died on a cross. He said some words on the cross, and he was buried in a grave. But from a divine point of view, whole sermons are written on the basis of those individual statements that Jesus made, such as, my God, why have you forsaken me? Or, today you shall be with me in paradise. Or, it is finished. Or, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. There we get into the theology behind the event. And see, that's where faith is found. Faith is not found in the event itself. Many people believe that the events occurred. What they don't believe is that they mean anything. And that's why the gospel is so critical. Yesterday we spent some time talking about the law. You really need to get across the law so people are prepared to hear the gospel. Think of a physician. He wants you to take some treatment for a disease that he has diagnosed. But he knows you're not going to take the treatment until you understand what the disease is. So also the law points out the disease that you have in Christ. And that's why you need to have Christ to overcome that disease. That's the gospel. It was not a coincidence that Jesus died on the cross. For sure, if the apostles had not been inspired by the Holy Spirit and did not have faith, they would have written about the death of Jesus Christ quite differently. It would have been a death like the death of Muhammad or the death of Joseph Smith of the Mormon religion. They died and they were buried, and that was it. You just have the facts. But nothing of that death, of those deaths, or their being buried, makes any difference as to whether I go to heaven or hell. But it sure makes a difference about Jesus. So the email writer, I wanted to explain clearly that when I use the word coincidence, I'm just talking about the way the Bible often just reports events that are occurring from a human point of view. It really isn't reporting anything that is beyond that. But then the scriptures go beyond that with their theology. Now, I want to kind of follow up with this email from this woman whose one daughter who had a serious medical problem was totally healed and the other is continuing to live way longer than the doctors expected. And here's what she says. We've had more than one pastor tell us to cool it, to be more restrained in sharing what God has done, because it can hurt other people whose prayers aren't answered the same way. Based on what these pastors have said to me, I think they would have told Pastor Baker not to tell of how the tornado missed him by God's grace because so many others didn't appear to receive the same grace. How would Pastor Baker respond? Now, I'm trying to remember if I use the word grace there. The fact that there was no doubt it was gracious, but it was really more merciful. The difference between mercy and grace is as follows. In regard to mercy, you don't get what you deserve. In regard to grace, you get more than you deserve. The fact that the tornado missed us, from my point of view, would mean that God was merciful. Because we didn't deserve not dying. We're poor sinners, deserving nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. But it didn't mean that those where the tornado did inflict damage were not being treated in a merciful way. Because God is a God of mercy and grace. And so it really doesn't matter what happens to you. He's operating toward his children from that point of view. You see, it just doesn't seem when negative things happen to us that God is being very merciful or gracious. And if I made any mistake, I was giving the impression, it appears, at least to this lady, that you know God is with you when good things are happening to you. Now, I have a 1 hour of KFUO that I did the first time I was back after our son was killed in a motorcycle accident. And I have given that out to many people because it seems to be very helpful for them. But there was one occasion when someone returned it to me and said that they didn't feel it would be helpful. And I asked them why. If you ever listen to that 1 hour on the death of a son, it's called, I speak about how we could be so confident that Philip is in heaven. He was a Christian. He had faith in Jesus Christ. He was at church the week before helping people, older people, to the communion rail and so forth. But in this particular situation, when I had given the CD to someone, the person they were about to give it to were parents whose son had committed suicide. And therefore, I could understand where some of what I had to say wouldn't be helpful to them under the circumstances. That's really a judgment call. You just don't know how helpful something can be because God is the one who finally is going to use it in a person's life. And when God uses it in a person's life, it will always be helpful. So, getting to the point I want to make, I'm not going to stop talking about coincidences in my life that are positive. What I'm going to be doing is also saying, and here are some coincidences that were not positive, but it's the same God. The same God of glory, the same God of help, the same God who died on the cross for my sins is making sure that now that I am his child, nothing is going to be happening to us that isn't working out to our advantage. This is a kind of a faithful item. So if somebody is talking about a very positive thing that happened in their life, it's not the positive thing that I would be emphasizing. What I would be emphasizing is to whom did they give the credit? And see, that's witnessing when you see God's hand happening in just about anything that you ever do. Because when God's hand happens in anything you ever do, that's a witness to God Almighty. In fact, even the act of repentance is a tremendous witness. I learned that when we were looking at the book of Job. Because the book of Job is found in its real essence with how Job now responds to God. Because God says, look, where were you when I did all these wonderful things in creating the world? Where were you? I'm going to question you. And what Job does, and this is in the last chapter of Job. Listen, I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear. In other words, Job had heard rumors about God. And if you want to hear rumors about God, just go to any other religion of the world. And you'll hear about a God of justice who's going to like you on the basis of your obedience. So I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. In other words, the eye of faith comes to understand who God truly is and what his will is for Job and also his promises. And that's why it is from Job that we get that great messianic promise. I know that my Redeemer lives and that I will see him again on the last day with my own eyes. Job believes in the resurrection of the body. But having now seen God in the way he really is, what is his confession? Verse 6 of chapter 42. Therefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. That is the highest act of worship that a Christian can do. Repentance? Wouldn't it be confession of Jesus as Lord would be a higher act? Well, what delights the heart of God is that a person gives all the credit for his salvation to Jesus Christ. And that comes through in a confession of repentance, where you abhor yourself and repent in dust and ashes. It may or may not be there when you confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, because it depends what you mean by that. But the confession of the repentance of sins, I still consider to be the highest confession a person can make in preparation for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we always begin our worship services with a confession of sin, followed by the absolution on the part of the pastor, where he forgives your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So from a long gospel point of view, if you ever use coincidences to give the impression that you're a better person than others because they are also positive, that would be legalistic, and therefore giving you the credit for these wonderful coincidences rather than God. But when you give God the credit, not only for the coincidences of positive things happening in your life, but also from a human point of negative things, then you're truly giving God the credit. Because regardless of how you see the event, you know that his promises are sure. And when you know that his promises are sure, then not only do you light in the Lord, but you are only more than willing to serve and obey him. Trust in him. It's a message that can be found in the scripture, and it is found in the confessions of the Christian church, that we cannot by our own reason or strength come to the Lord, even believe in him, but know that the Holy Spirit has drawn us by the gospel, and he will not only give us true faith, he will keep us in that true faith. And that's why Jesus is referred to as the author and the finisher of our faith. That's a marvelous gift. And it's a gift that only comes about because God is the one who cares for us. Because God is the one who showed his love for us in dying for us on the cross and being raised from the dead for our salvation. So I appreciate the email from this woman. She made some very good points, and I'm going to be more careful in talking about coincidences in the future speaking not only of the positive ones, but also from a human point of view of the negative ones. Because behind these so-called coincidences, which really don't exist, is God at work in your life and in the life of those around you. And that's why we can say, in all truth, this is most certainly true. I'm Tom Baker. Thanks so much for listening for Law and Gospel on this Tuesday, June the 25th. Tomorrow is Insight Wednesday. What do we do on Insights? We bring in some in-depth understanding of the scripture or doctrines, and we also would appreciate maybe some phone calls. We'll let you know if we're able to take phone calls tomorrow. Today we weren't able to, but it's something that we're working on as we move into the new studios. So till tomorrow, I'm Tom Baker. God bless.
To Law and Gospel on KFUO Radio. You can write Pastor Tom at KFUO Radio, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. Law and Gospel is archived for your listening convenience at KFUO.org.